This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our broadcast, COVID cast number 21. Watching the Spurs, are they replaying Spurs Heat NBA Finals?
That is correct.
Boy, I haven't seen
Your new TV is giant.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Nice.
Although it needs to kind of be tilted, don't you think?
Well, I think it's too big, and so the window kind of pops it out.
It has a great TV, though.
It can't be tilted.
What's the size of that puppy? Why don't you go ahead and brag for a sec?
I think we got maybe a 60 to 65, maybe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No longer tinted blue?
No, I kind of miss the tinted blue, feeling like, you're watching an NBA game, but it's played at Boise. So I kind of miss that a little bit.
Isn't it funny? We haven't seen sports for so long that you look at this tape and you look and you just start to notice how close people are. Like, look at all of those people shoulder to shoulder.
The lack of social distancing is...
In the crowd, on the floor, on the bench, just everywhere. It's like, oh my God.
Well, Fauci came out today and said that we should never shake hands again.
Fauci?
Yeah.
Well, I've thought about that. Have you thought about that? It's like, why?
I don't know. Look, I understand that this is going to fundamentally change a lot of things.
Do a nice little... what is this called? A salute. Do a salute or maybe like an air high five. Or
if people don't want to shake hands, whatever.
Bump.
All I'm saying is if someone reaches out to shake my hand in the future, I'll go ahead and shake it.
Do you think that over in countries where they have the signature kiss, hello?
Ooh, yeah.
And goodbye, do you think that they will change that up now?
People are saying like in Italy, that's a big deal and they're already talking about doing that away. Although to be fair, this is all I'm going to say about it. Because I'm not trying to diminish anything, okay? People are losing their lives. The economy is in shambles. This thing is absolutely horrific. Make no mistake about it. But been on the planet 41 years. You, what are we, 43, 44?
44, baby.
44, right?
44 years.
We were seemingly okay for 40 or 40 and a half of those years. For me, a little bit longer than you.
30,
right? We were okay with kissing hello and goodbye. We were okay with shaking hands.
Tom Brady was okay kissing his kids in the mouth.
Yes.
I never kiss hello and goodbye.
The world didn't end.
I might start, though.
And the world's not going to end because of this. Therefore, I'm not saying you have to go back to the way things were, but at the same time, you don't have to restock your life and be like, everything we were doing was wrong. No. Viruses happen. The virus happened with the Spanish flu in the early 1900s. If we go back, you had the play. These things tend to happen. And you try to make smart decisions, but
the but is Fauci's right. It's kind of an interesting thought to think about how this will change us. And that may be one of them. Like how we greet each other could be something that comes to this. Or it could not be. I mean, we could all go right back to, swap and spit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, say hello.
I mean, that's where the Hoors competition comes in, right? We're going to go right back to that?
What was I teasing here?
I don't know.
You don't?
What were we talking about?
Oh, the college football.
Oh, yeah, the 80s.
The ADs.
That Mike apparently spoiled, much like the Modern Family thing.
Twice without even realizing it. I feel so bad.
Instead of beefsteak Mike, we're going to have a segment killer Mike.
You know what, Mike?
I feel bad.
Guilt is a useless emotion.
Really?
Wow.
See, I beg to differ.
That's totally wrong.
Useless.
I feel like guilt plays a big role. How else are you
I'm not saying it doesn't play a big role. It's human nature.
Well, how else are you going to have churches?
There you go. Guilt and fear. Says the churchgoer.
How's Kenneth Copeland going to afford his plane if we don't have guilt?
How is he going to blow the coronavirus away?
I mean, the Catholic Church ends tomorrow without that. You okay over there?
Yeah, why? It's a little...
Well, you know, it's like burp number five.
Beauty of radio, Mike.
Yeah, last couple days, you've been awful gassy over there.
Did you do the McDonald's challenge and not publicize it?
I'm eating and drinking great.
Rob had that one Big Mac, and now he's just like, he doesn't say anything, but he goes home every night and just starts shoveling them in. He's like,
No, man. I tell you what.
I broke the seal.
McDonald's
quarter
is good,
pounder.
But every time I eat it, I really don't want it for another month to 2 months.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I do get I get a hankering for a little McDonald's. Yeah.
Now, so I get a
perhaps it's childhood trauma. I don't know.
I get a hankering for stuff that's bad. Last night, I had a Philly cheesesteak. Oh, that was so good. But like, I have a
did it have onions and peppers on it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, why else? Oh, because of John.
Well, your brother seemed to think that a Philly cheesesteak was still a Philly cheesesteak without anything on it.
My brother is the only person alive that will order a Philly cheesesteak minus peppers and onions. You just want a steak sandwich.
Now, did you go with the classic correct Cheese Whiz, or did you go with the new fancy provolone?
Provolone. I prefer the provolone than to the Cheese
Whiz. Cheese Whiz is how it was made originally.
Yeah, I like the provolone. But this place in Vancouver, they do the imported bread from back east where they get it, and they do it right. Mm. It's a Philly Blimo's, I think it's what it's called, and it's fantastic. Like, my thing is, if I'm going to eat poorly, and the Philly cheesesteak certainly is that, I'm going to eat poorly with something that is fantastic. I'm not going to ingest, no offense to McDonald's, but the quarter pounder with cheese that God knows where that's been or where it's going. I'm going to choose to steer into something a little better.
You're saying eat quality poor food.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're going to go binge for a day, just make sure it's quality binge.
Yeah, because we've all been there. Like, I ate that Philly cheesesteak and instantly was like, God, why did I do that? But, oh, it was so good. Whereas if you eat the McDonald's challenge a la Mike, you're like, oh, why did I do that? It was terrible. Like, you don't even get, like, satisfaction from it.
No.
Yeah, it's all regret. I would like the regret, but with enjoyment, right? Like a night out in Vegas, you're like, why, oh, why? You're like, hey, at least I've got the memory.
You would like the guilt.
Yes. Again, guilt, a very valuable commodity.
88% of FBS athletic directors support an expanded college football playoff.
How many?
88%.
88. I thought you may say, I knew you said 80. I didn't hear the second part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 88%. The current playoff contract runs through 2025. Doesn't mean they can't change it before then.
No, but it's harder to do so because, again, you got to deal with, contracts and...
Yeah.
Although, more money to be made. That's the argument why everyone always makes it, is there's more money. And I also wonder if, in light of college football maybe going through a bit of a financial crunch here, if all of a sudden the idea of an expanded playoff and more money coming in might be a little more attractive to some people.
An 8-team playoff is supported by 72% of ADs. They want to go to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And 66% of them wish to include the highest-ranked non-Power 5 team in a new format.
Sure. And that goes with that. I mean, everyone has kind of said that. Like now, what is it? The top non-Power 5, as long as you're in the top, is it the top 16, they get to go to one of the New Year's Six Bowls. So, I mean, this there's always been a provision, even towards the end of the BCS, to try to open the door for one of those teams.
It's always frustrating when you're watching something happen and it just moves too slow, and everybody knows it's like headed a certain direction, but you just can't. Mm-hmm. You just got to wait.
Yep.
That's where we're at with this.
College football moves extraordinarily slow because, again, you're not dealing with a single entity. You're dealing with...
Yeah, but I would say,
a ton of different ones.
In its defense, and Bill Hancock, if he were sitting here, this is what he would say. Mm-hmm. it moved really fast on switching to a playoff. Remember, they were like not 2 years, but how long have we had the four-team playoff now? Five, 6 years?
5, 6 years?
I mean, 2 years before that, Bill Hancock was saying no way.
Yeah.
And that totally turned on a dime.
Yeah, but how many years did we have the BCS? I mean,
15?
It's a I'm looking it up here. We went from
17?
98 to 2013. So
yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, 15. So I mean, that's a long time, and throughout that thing,
boy, that was a regrettable era. You look back on that and go, God.
And yet it was better than the previous one that we had.
I know.
I point out the fact, and I feel bad because it's my team. Under the old system, BYU won a national championship, and the best team they beat all year was like the 20th ranked team. They played like an unranked team, unranked Michigan in the Holiday Bowl, and they won the national title simply because they were the only undefeated team. Like, it was such a flawed system. So the BCS came along, which was ridiculous, but you're like, well, it's better than the old one. And now we have the playoff after 15 years of the crappy BCS, and we're like, well, it's better than that. And now we're like, hey, give us an 8-team playoff, and you know, hopefully that will settle it. I don't think you need more than an 8-team playoff. I really don't. I just think in college football, it's so top heavy. If you get a 16 or an expanded playoff,
playoffs.
I just don't think that there's a lot of merit to it. Very rarely do we get to the end of the year and anyone gives a rip about the 9th or 10th or 11th ranked team.
I agree with that.
I think 8 would be perfect.
I definitely agree with that. At the same time, as this points out, by the way, that survey was from Brett McMurphy of Stadium, although I saw it on Sports Illustrated. He seems to be big into the surveys of ADs now, Brett McMurphy. But I guess what else are you going to do? So the interesting thing about that is, like, they point out on here, and it's really true. Like, go back and look in the four-team playoff era of the schools that have been in the playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same schools.
Same schools.
And so if you expand it to 8, that will change somewhat. But at the same time, 16, the only thing I would say about 16 is you would get more teams in there that aren't normally in there, and I think that's a nice carrot to dangle in front of schools.
The only thing,
as opposed to just some bowl game that, you know,
sure,
you may or may not want to play in.
The only thing about that is you're going to have to start chopping regular season games, and for 98% of the teams in the country, no offense to the Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, Arizona, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, they're not in this conversation, and they're never going to be.
Okay, but what about, and again, I'm merely playing devil's advocate. I think 8 is right. If you keep the current Power 5 conference structure, 8 plus the top non-Power 5 school, and then a couple of wild cards, come on, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good to me.
Because you can't be asking teams to play 16 games.
But
you can't.
The
16-game
tournament, though, like Washington State, like you said, they're just not going to win the championship.
No.
But if they get into the tournament, isn't that better them losing? I mean, they could win a game, but they're probably not going to win whatever it is, 4 games
against teams
in a row
that are just so
against
stacked.
Those teams. But isn't it better for that, at least them or some schools, to achieve that and get in the tournament and have that bowl game where you do have a chance to advance and play another game, as opposed to, again, going to like the Holiday Bowl and it's a one off. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's better for the one-off, because then if you win, it's like, hey, we go out on top and, you know, we didn't have to get bludgeoned the next week, you know? So
I just talking about, I do think there's an element of, and this is the argument that like the Bill Hancocks make of the world. And normally I kind of roll my eyes at it, but when you get into this, making the regular season somewhat irrelevant, I love that college football, the games matter. And again, you can't ask people to play 12 games, the 13th game conference title, then go win and play multiple rounds in a playoff. You know, you're at some point you are dealing with college kids. If you want to pay the athletes, sure. But I just don't like the idea of trying to extend seasons to 16, you know, plus weeks and making an NFL season when you're dealing with college kids. I remember after Oregon, watching them play that national title game, just those two teams, and how absolutely spent and the war of attrition that it is. I just don't like that. So unless you want to start chopping off non-conference games and say, hey, let's just play the conference schedule or play 10 games, you give you one non-conference, but then that gets into revenue. And again, for most teams, you're not going to ever be in that conversation of even getting into a 16-team playoff. you know, I like the idea of still having bowl games, of still having non-conference schedules. That's why I think 8 to me is a nice round number. You get your conference title. All Power 5 schools have a shot at it. You win your conference. You have a special year. You're in. You give the non-Power 5 a berth, and then you still leave yourself with 2 at-larges. That, to me, is the perfect number for college football while still maintaining a really, really good regular season that gives you the non-conference games. And I love that you aren't going to be murdered for playing a non-conference game. I love that Oregon is starting with Ohio State. I wish we could have more of those and we had a system that didn't punish you for playing one of those games and losing a close one against a top 10 team. And ideally, I'd love to have the 18-team playoff and actually get 2 or 3 of these on every schedule where you get these big non-conference clashes. And no offense, but do away with playing the little sister Mary of the poor, which who the hell does that? Like, outside of writing a check to those schools, who benefits when Ohio State plays Tallahassee JUCO or when Oregon plays Portland State? Like, who is that for? Why do you even play that game? It's pointless.
Isn't some of the idea behind that is like a lot of the in-state schools, the bigger in-state schools play the smaller in-state schools to keep the money in the state?
Well, that's what some schools have said, that if you are going to play those games, make sure you play the in-state school because, yeah, you are keeping the money locally. But that's all that those things do is try to it's a payday. And I get for the smaller school, I mean, you're getting $1 million to go get your ass whipped. And if you're the big school, you're just paying for a bye week. But for the fan and for college football, what good does that do? And remember, the SEC plays one of those at the end of the year, right? You're cruising along, and all of a sudden we get to the week before the big rivalries in the SEC, and you play the Citadel. That's an abomination. So if you want to get rid of that game and add a 16-team playoff, there's ways to shorten the schedule. Get rid of those games.
Text the fan text line. Commentary, 55305. We'll get to a few of those. Somebody arguing with us about the Philly cheesesteak. I'd like to bring that up coming up next.
That the pepper thing?
Well, they said, now I got to go back and find it. Well, they were in John's, I'm paraphrasing, but they were on John's side saying.
Oh, really? That's a cheesesteak?
Well, they were saying that they don't like peppers and like vegetables with their steak. And that, okay, that's fine. Don't order a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'll have a steak without the meat. Like a Philly cheesesteak has that on it. If you don't want that, then order just a steak sandwich or a cheesesteak sandwich, right?
But not a Philly.
I may be wrong about this, but a Philly is with veggies.
Well, I think the
peppers.
I think the traditional Philly, and onions. I could be completely out on this. I think the original Philly was just onions.
Okay.
And not necessarily peppers, because there is, I've seen it at places where the traditional is just steak, cheese, onions, and then like they'll have like a loaded one that'll have peppers added to it. So I think the original Philly does have onions. I think it's odd if you order it just plain.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get a Philly cheesesteak with just meat and cheese?
To me, it's always been understood that a cheesesteak would come with, a Philly cheesesteak would come with stuff on it.
Yes.
But
unless you're my brother.
Yeah, it should be called something else.
Yeah.
If you want steak and cheese. Well, it's a steak and cheese sandwich.
And here's all you need to know about whether that's right or wrong. My brother and everyone else is embarrassed when they order a Philly cheesesteak sandwich without anything on it. And you should be, because that lets you know that you know you're doing something wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be embarrassed. Same thing with ordering a steak well done, right? You know it's awkward. Therefore, like deep inside your mind, you know what you're doing is wrong.
All right. We'll get some of your texts in the news is coming up as well. It is 419 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We're going to read a couple of texts here. This is the Fan text line, guys. You can be you can reach us at 55305 for your hot comments. This one said, because we're talking about college football, there's a poll by Brett McMurphy said 88% of college football athletic directors support an 8-team playoff. One tech says, I've always been surprised to hear you guys advocate an 8-teamer because 1080's favorite Joel Klatt is constantly talking about how that would mean SEC would get 2 teams in every year. God forbid, even though we can probably all agree it's been a long time since the SEC hasn't had at least 2 in the best of 7 teams after conference title teams.
See, and that doesn't bother me that you have two SEC teams. I just love
might get three.
Sometimes you already have two SEC teams.
Exactly. And so my point is, if the top, well, you're going to get the five champions in, and that's what I like most about it.
Me too.
You win your conference, and this is why
you get a shot.
You get a shot. Like if Oregon goes next year and they open with Ohio State, and is it Washington have Michigan?
Yes.
They open with.
Yeah.
Right. I love that those two teams are scheduling that. And if you lose that game and that's a close one, and both of those two teams drop it, you're basically saying you have to be perfect the rest of the way out, or you have zero shot at it. I hate that. I love the fact that if you go play Ohio State, you go play Michigan, and you lose, or you stub your toe along the way, it doesn't matter. Maybe you have injuries at the start of the year. And if at the end of the year, if you're playing your best ball and you win your conference, you get a shot at it. I love that. And then it leaves up in for a Power Five, a non-Power Five, you know, whether it be a Boise State or a Central Florida or BYU had a great year or whatever. If you had a team get hot, or Hawaii, someone like that, they can get a crack at one of the big boys, and then it leaves you two extra spots. And if those are filled by one or two SEC teams, and those are great teams, that's the best team in the country, awesome. But remember the one year we had TCU and Baylor get left out? Those were good teams. I'd love to see that, or Stanford a couple years.
Well, it just is a shame that you win your Power Five league, and then it's a beauty contest to see whether you're in or out. So I'm fully with you on the mandate of the Power Five champions are all in.
I don't care if you get multiple SEC teams.
A lot of people say that expanding the college football playoff diminishes the regular season. But if you mandated that the Power Five champions are in, doesn't that really sort of elevate the regular season? It's like, hey, just win your league and you're in, even if you stumbled in the non-conference or you started slow with a hurt quarterback and you lost two or three games, you still can win your league and have a crack in the tournament.
And I think
that's an important distinction that I think still buoys the regular season.
And it lends itself to teams being, I think, more willing to take chances in the non-conference. And whether those games are the end-all to be-all as far as what happens at the end of the season and getting into the playoff, wouldn't we all agree that we want to see more of the big boys go head-to-head? And some home and homes and not just on neutral fields. Who doesn't want to see USC, Bama, Oregon, and Ohio State, to see Penn State come out and play UCLA, or see Oregon State go play Wisconsin? Like, those are all games that, for me as a college football fan, regardless of if they have a giant outcome at the end of the year, those are games that I want to see, not Sacramento State. I don't want to see that game. I don't care. I can't tell you how many times when you're looking through the schedule and you're like, well, they're playing them. I'm not watching that crap. Like, I got better things to do on my Saturday than waste my time by watching that game. And if you went to an 18 playoff, I think you'll get more of the big boys playing each other.
Yeah, somebody said, I like the idea of eight teams as long as 6, 7, and 8 seeds aren't league champions. That's interesting. So you think the top five Power Five champs should be ranked or should be seeded 1 through 5?
Oh.
And no matter, because we all know Georgia, if they finish number 2 in the SEC, is probably better, is many times better than Baylor, who won the Big 12.
It's like the NFL playoffs.
But would Baylor, Baylor's earned it by winning the league. So they're at least the 5 seed and Georgia is the 6. That then pits, you know, SEC teams against one another early in the tournament.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
If you think about it.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought about that. As far as seeding
that
goes,
that puts even more emphasis on winning your league, because then you're not only in the tournament, you're in the top five, which means you avoid a tougher first round game.
And that would help kind of improve the importance of the regular season again.
Yeah.
If you're worried about that going away, well, you got to win your conference.
I just think there's not a lot of arguments in my mind that can be made against an 18 playoff. I think you go beyond that, and I do think you can get into some, you know, the Joe Klatz of the world, and I know he's against expansion period. I've never bought any of his arguments for it, but I do think if you go beyond that, then I can see some points. I just think eight to me is a perfect fit.
We have Philly Bro in. This is a person from Philadelphia.
Ooh, we got hot steak takes.
They say cheesesteaks are there, and they are ordered with a qualifier. Cheesesteaks there are ordered with a qualifier.
Okay.
With or without, you know what that means? Yes. With or without.
If you go to one of the originals, you say
that's what they say.
You say, you know, steak, cheese whiz steak. With or provolone with or without.
With or without. And that means onion.
That's especially Pat's, which is the original. They get very angry at you if you take too long to order. You have to be ready just to say those three words and get out of the line.
And that means onions.
And they chastise you.
So really? If you want with, that means onions.
Yes.
Peppers are not traditional.
See, I thought that was the case, but I thought onions were just a given.
So but a cheesesteak. So your brother has a point.
Damn it.
And we don't like to say this, but we'll admit that in this instance, a cheesesteak, a Philly cheesesteak without onions or peppers, is still a Philly cheesesteak.
Son of a bee.
Technically.
Is there still shame in ordering it without?
No.
No?
Nope.
It doesn't sound like. It sounds like there they do the with
the
or without.
The shame is ordering it incorrectly.
The shame is saying, I'd like a Philly cheesesteak without onions, cheese, or peppers.
Yeah. I don't know why, but in big...
The shame is saying, I'd like a... And they go, get out of the line, you jerk.
Yeah. There is a whole thing, like, if you go... Like, in big cities, I'm sure New York is like... I haven't spent a lot of time in New York. But, like, if you go to Chicago... And you go to a hot dog place or you go to a Portillo's, you better have your S dialed in. They're not, if you screw up your beef sandwich or you don't know what you want when you get to the front, it is a...
Because there's always a line.
Yes.
And they're moving really quickly.
Yeah, and they don't have time for your crap.
If you go to Jeans and Jude's, which is a hot dog place there, very, very good. It's kind of similar to the Philly cheesesteak. You got to know what you're doing.
You can't get to the front and then look up at the menu. And I appreciate that because there's nothing worse than when you're standing in line for 10 minutes, then someone gets to the front. You're like, hey, jackass, read the effing menu. You've been standing in line
for 10 minutes. You could have looked at this. It's a well-oiled machine, and you're like taking a piece of the gear out and slowing it all down.
A human piece of cholesterol in our artery line, and you just want to get that angioplasty and just blow them right out. Get the hell out of the way.
I definitely agree with everything you just said, but at the same time, I just think back to some of my experiences like
panic ordering.
Totally. Like Italy when I first got there and some other countries that we've been to where you don't know their ways and it can be very confusing. And I don't like the shame. Like in Italy, they don't give a rip. They will shame the S out of you. I was in I think it was a gas station or something. I didn't really understand how it worked. It was a different, to this day, I can't even explain it. Yeah. I was thoroughly confused. And I think I was shamed literally out of the place. I'm like, fine, I'll just go to somewhere else. And it's just, I don't really understand that. Like, why can't you have just a little bit of patience? Why do we have to shame people who, now, what you just said about, like, standing there for 8 minutes looking at the menu and then you're not ready.
Yeah.
Come on. But if you don't know the system, like, I've never actually spent much time in Philly. So I wouldn't know what Mike is saying.
Better ask.
Yeah, well, they do have signs on the place that tell you how to order. And when I was there, I haven't spent a lot of time in Philly either, even though I live fairly close to there. But I was there with a guy who was from Philly, and he just told me, he goes, Mike, you got to order this way or you're going to get shamed out of the line. And the guy in front of me took too long, and he got heckled by all the workers in the restaurant.
Do you think that, can I ask a question about, since you're an East Coaster,
yes.
Do you think the West Coast is like that? Because I feel like it's way less so. Here.
Yeah, I think it's less so.
Than there.
Yeah, I would say
that's
so.
That's an East Coast thing.
I would say so.
Well, the East Coast in general is more aggressive.
Yeah, right? It's more aggressive.
And they just don't give an F.
They definitely don't give an F. And it becomes part of the charm of the place for those of you who live there. So there was a place called White Manna, which is a little slider place the town over from where I grew up. Incredible sliders. Like really, really, really well known on all the food shows and stuff. But it's a gaggle of people, and you have to know what order you went in. And you have to know how to order quickly or else they just give you the most impatient look ever and you're scared to order food. It just becomes part of the charm, though. Like, if you bring people there, like, okay, you got to know what number you are because there's no numbers. You just got to know who was in front of you and you got to know how to order and then you'll be fine. And you'll have delightful sliders.
I've had some Southern barbecue that's like that where they just, they don't care. They will literally just, like, this is what you're going to get. Like, hey, can I? No, there is no deviation.
Yeah, if you don't want what's on the menu, you can get out.
Yeah, F you. Like, there is no substitution. And then if you spend any time, at least in my experience, speaking of intimidating, if you go spend time in Asian countries, honestly, half the time, you don't even know what you ordered. It just shows up. Like, they just... You're trying to ask questions and they just don't have time. They don't care. And then next thing you know, they're just leaving and they come back with food and you're like, I don't know what I got, but I'm going to eat it. And I just, it's, That is, to me, was by far the most intimidating. If you spend, like, if you go to Thailand or if you go to Taiwan or Japan, that can be very, very, very intimidating. And you just end up accepting that you don't really know what you're getting, but just shut up, you dumb white American, and shove this fish and noodle in your face and be quiet.
That's what it is. There's a lot of resentment towards people that aren't their own.
Yeah.
It's like, you should know how it works here. Yeah. I feel like you need more patience.
Guy who started the show by saying, if you don't like what we're talking about, F you.
Yeah. Well, again, like, if you don't like Modern Family, see, that's different, because if you don't like a show, what do you do?
Well, you don't watch it.
Right. Yeah. Do you send a text message or an email to the producer of that show telling him how much you hate the show? No.
Dear
you
Canada,
just turn
F
it
you.
Off. I don't understand why people send us. This is why we don't believe you when you say, I'm turning you off. I'm never listening to you again. Yeah. Oh, yeah? That's why you're the people who turn us off are the people who just turn us off.
Yeah.
They don't tell us about it.
Do it. I'm never listening to you guys again, except for tomorrow when I complain again.
That's right.
Or a lot of times with those people, I'll send something back and be like, hey, just so you know, it's okay that your dad hates you. I still love you. And they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just,
they're just looking for a reaction.
Yeah. They're like, I got all worked out.
Oh, I really love you, man.
You can kind of kill him with kindness.
The thing about,
if you end up at a place though, and here's my go-to, if you travel, cause I go to a lot of places that I don't speak the language, and this has been my standard. If you know you are incapable of reading the menu and knowing what you want and the order process has begun to go south, I've done this so many times, and I just simply go with the, what do you recommend? What's your best thing? And whatever.
What if you don't know the language?
Well, that can be tough. But most people, you can understand either a highlighted, or you can ask someone, or you can somehow communicate. What are you known for? What's the best thing on your menu? And if it's not something that you like, just accept it as an experience. You're going to try something different. I do that plenty of times where the ordering process is not going smooth. Just bring me the house special and I'll be fine with it.
The other thing that threw me off about Italy, real quick, and then we'll get to you in the news. No lines like that. Lines are not a thing.
Really?
Like, they just don't know. It's a free for all. And it's just
the amoeba line.
Yeah. You realize how orderly we really are over here. Yeah. when you travel to places like that, because, and the airports are like this too. Like, the airports are an absolute S show, and it's just way it is.
I do feel like,
and you better just be able figure it out.
I feel like, I've never been to Italy, but I feel like the Italians have a very, it's a non-structured sort of environment over there.
I found them
They drink wine at like 11, right?
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm taking a siesta.
I found them to be friendly, but not overly friendly. Mm. They don't go out of their way. They know they're big for tourists. They get what's going on.
They don't need to
be
nice.
But at the same time, that's exactly right. They don't need to be nice
to you.
Well,
they're the hot chick, right?
You're still going to Italy anyway.
The hot chick doesn't need to have a great personality or be nice to you. She's hot.
And I kind of liked that about them, you know? Whereas they say, I haven't been to France. Have you been to France?
No.
They say in France, they're just flat out rude.
Yeah,
but then you get to know that they're like New Yorkers. You get to know them and they're wonderful. It's just it's kind of their vibe initially.
I just had the stop through. I can't count what I did at the train station to be seeing France.
All right. Where were we?
A lot of people would count that, Stu.
Yeah, that's cheap. If you're counting that, that's like a layover. If you laid over in the Atlanta airport, you didn't go to Atlanta.
That's right. That's like being in the Vegas airport.
Exactly.
Have you been to Vegas? No.
No, you didn't. I'm not.
You played a slot machine in the airport.
Yeah, I'm not claiming France.
All right. Coming up next in the news, the latest on COVID locally. There is some news to report to you today. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, P1 Scott said, we ordered some drinks at a bar in Paris, and it took forever to get them. Then one of my sons points out that the server is outside on the sidewalk smoking a cigarette, an entire cigarette. Then he brought our drinks.
Yes.
And that is so true. That was Paris, but I found the same thing in Italy, is they are not on your time frame. You are on theirs. And it is not like it is here. It is not chop chop. It is it is whatever they want, really.
Well, and you have to be able to adjust.
That's
right. It's like, if you travel places, please, 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 for the love of God, do not perpetuate the ugly
that's
American.
Right. And that's what I was saying about the people of Italy, is I think that they have seen so much crap from, and it's not just Americans, just any tourist who is just an ass.
Sure.
That they just, if you show them that you kind of know what you're doing and you respect what they've got going on, they're great. But believe me, they're watching you. And if you're an ass, you're not getting anything you want. You just aren't.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Well, traveling can be, and I think it's good. The world would be a better place, and I know not everyone can do it, and it's a financial thing and kids and all that, but I swear, you know, in some places like we do, the countries do mandatory military service. You know, they do this like in Israel and places. Yeah. I would love it if we had to do a mandatory, like when you were like 14, 15, if you had to do a mandatory study abroad for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You just spun the globe and we just stuck you somewhere and you were forced to do it. I honestly think like half of the world's problems would be solved if you just got to experience a different culture and a different way of doing things and realize that we're all the same.
Couldn't
we just come
more.
From different places and there's different ways of doing things, but our way isn't necessarily best. It's not worse. It's just, it's different.
I agree.
And maybe you would have an appreciation for where you're from. And I don't know, just culture is a wonderful thing to get to experience. Unfortunately, so many of us either don't have the means to do it, or in the case of a lot of people, and this is the part that really bums me out, because this it goes for a lot of my family members, they don't have an interest in experiencing different cultures. And that to me is depressing and kind of sad.
But it's a long ways for us to travel. You know, Americans have a bit of an excuse, unless Canada or Mexico. But whereas over in Europe, I mean, think of all the countries within 2 hours of or 3 or 4 hours,
you hop a train and you're in.
I just think that's so much more interesting. The other thing that would be helpful is if everybody worked in the service industry for a little bit of time.
Yeah, if you had to be a waiter or waitress or wash dishes or whatever.
I think you learn a lot about people during that time. All right, it is April 8th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Dog Farting Awareness Day.
What?
Which I found.
Why would?
Yeah. Here's what's interesting. It is also National Dog Fighting Awareness Day. Fighting and farting. Yes.
My dogs don't fight, but boy, I'll tell you what. Having a couple bulldogs, you certainly hear it.
I think it's hilarious when dogs fart.
Really?
Love it. I think it's hilarious. It gets me every time.
Again, get some bulldogs. After a while, it's not so funny.
Dude.
It's audible.
Nobody stunk like Ned, but it was still funny.
Were they loud?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always love it when he'd fart and then it would scare. He'd be like, "Whoa!"
And they
look
go
at
around,
his butt.
Or they sniff where they farted. You're like, "Yeah, that's you." In case you were wondering.
All right, we're tracking this week. The Surgeon General warned that it would be our Pearl Harbor moment this week. So, just for frame of reference, as of Monday morning, there were 9,632 coronavirus deaths in the United States. Yesterday, we reported 12,474 deaths.
Yeah, wasn't it the deadliest day we've had so far?
I don't know.
I think I saw that.
Is that true?
I think yesterday was the deadliest day so far in the United States.
So today, let me pull up the latest numbers. We are now at, this is just in the U.S., 432,244 cases. It was 390,000 plus yesterday. And number of deaths, 14,722.
So do we know, like, everything
Does that feel like our Pearl Harbor to you? Like, I feel...
It does not.
This is... I know, and that's what's scary, is that people are dying.
Yes.
A lot of people are dying. And yet, there is seemingly a narrative that we're doing great and this is all getting better.
But there is, but I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing to think.
Yeah.
You know, look, and this is
both can be true.
Both can be true, right? If this ends up being where we have, let's say, 25,000 people die, that is horrific, right? That's a war.
Well, they have lowered the total number of death models.
Yeah, we're in like, what, 75, 80,000?
Yeah. Which is good. But that's not good.
But it's
terrible.
Not, but at the end of the day, this is like the flu season, right? The flu season kills 35, 40,000 people on a bad year. So the fact that we have this coming that has been the crisis of our lifetime, at least the health crisis of our lifetime, if you end up with 70 or 75,000 people, you know, that's a really horrific flu season. It's more than that. You're doubling it. But some of the worst flu seasons I've seen can kill 50 or 55,000. So if you're 25% above that, that's horrific. But at the same time, what it could have been, whether it's a million or 2 million or 200,000, look, you're not going to win this war without losing some soldiers. So if everything we're doing reduces this to 70,000 people, then yeah, I do think that that's a win. The idea Except, that no one's going to die is ridiculous.
Right, that's true, but it could have been a lot less than sure. that even, and but that's we, a whole other thing.
But we screwed that up, and that cat's out of the bag, so I'm looking forward.
There is a ban locally on in-person dining that has been extended indefinitely in Oregon, so Kate Brown came out and said, yeah, we got to do that. The other thing she said was they have canceled school in Oregon for the rest of the academic year. Same as Washington, which we reported to you yesterday. That is not an upset. Everybody knew that was coming.
It's well, I feel just, like, yeah. They've
finally done it.
Yeah, that's going to be across the country.
If you had a passing grade when classes were canceled, you graduate. This is for seniors.
Yeah.
If not, you have to work with your school and your district. Not shocking here either, but the OSAA has canceled all remaining spring sports and state championships.
You know, and like I said, I feel bad for the seniors. My son's really bummed. He wanted to go to prom. He wanted to do the senior party thing. He wanted to graduate. And if this is your senior year and you're in sports, that's always a big deal. And for most of those kids, they're not going to get to play again. I mean, that's just there's so many pieces of this that suck. And then you get into the obviously there's death and suffering in the economics of it, which are way worse. But it doesn't change the fact that for a lot of kids and for a lot of families, you know, this robbed them of what was supposed to be one of the best years of their life.
Portland parks and golf courses are open. Coming soon, Kate Brown is saying, because the weather is getting nice. You know, it's like 70 degrees today.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to warn people, hey, you know, still maintain your social distance and, you know, all this stuff. But they're going to add Portland Park greeters. People to politely remind you.
Like Walmart greeters?
Of how we're supposed to go about our business.
And then will they shame you if you don't?
I think that's right. I think that's why they're there.
There's a little park right by my house, and then I'll run around sometimes, and they've got like little... like workout stations. So there'll be like dip bars in one, and it's like a quarter mile around it.
It's like Venice Beach.
Yeah, right. And then they've got like, there's different little stations, and then there's a little diagram on how to do each one. But there's signs posted on every one of them that say closed. And that's all it is just a sign that's taped up. And the other day I saw this awesome old guy, but he was in really good shape. He was like a Jack LaLanne type. He was probably in his 60s, maybe 70s, but he was in really good shape. And he was running around the park, and the best part was he was knocking off all the close signs as he would do each station. So he was cruising around. He was awesome. He had, like, wristbands on. Dude is my hero. And he'd get to each station, knock down the sign, do his little workout, and then keep running around. And I watched him for a good solid 4 or 5 minutes. I saw him do this with 2 or 3 stations. And I wanted to go over and high-five him, but, you know, hey.
You're not supposed to do that.
Not supposed to do that, but I don't think he was supposed to knock off the signs either, but I thought he was great.
All right, up next, let's check in on the weed and booze sales in our state. 450 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up a little later, Tom Brady was on Howard Stern. We'll talk about what he said. But right now, this is in the news, April 8, 2020. Surprising literally zero people, marijuana and alcohol sales have seen an increase.
What?
In Oregon.
People that are working from home or unemployed with nothing to do on their off time. So weed and booze. Wow.
Do you find yourself drinking more or having to catch yourself from drinking more? I don't either. But you, what about you, Michael?
No.
I don't either, but I can imagine if we got turfed and we were just literally quarantined, because you and I have a semblance of a fairly normal day.
Yeah, I try to keep my day as structured as it always
but
is.
But a lot of people can't, or their kids are home, and they're home with their kids, and they're working from home. I think I might have a problem with drinking more. It would be very easy to pour that glass of wine a little earlier.
Yeah.
And then a little earlier.
I will say that it's
before you know it.
The time certainly can get away from you. Time for me, not even the time, it's the days. The time stays pretty regimented for me because I do pretty much the same thing most days. But God, I honestly, yesterday I asked, I was like, what is it, Tuesday, Monday? What are we, Wednesday? The days of the week are just absolutely blurring together.
For your records, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is there anything about the simplicity of this that you actually kind of like? Have you had that thought yet?
Simplicity. Well, I like
your life's a little simpler.
I like the no crowds. I love the no traffic. but no traffic. The office without with it just being us, it's fantastic. Like if you could have like a shed somewhere where we broadcast from, I would gladly
take
that.
It's gonna suck when people come back in here.
Yeah.
No offense to any of you.
Yeah. It's great walking in and there's just no
one. We don't want to see you.
I haven't worn pants in 3 weeks. It's great.
March was a record-breaking month for marijuana sales in Oregon, and alcohol sales are looking higher than usual, too. And it does correlate with the governor's stay-home order, again, shocking literally zero people.
Yeah, the weed shop over by me, they've got the big X's now where you have to stand. And there is, every time I've driven by it, there is a line that wraps around the corner. And
how about this?
Some of that's misleading because the line is obviously bigger because of the distance, but there has been a healthy line every single time I've drove or ridden past that place.
According to the OLCC, statewide marijuana sales were at 84.5 million this March. That is compared to 61 million last March.
That's a nice little bump.
Yeah, that's 30. I mean, that's 30%. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
And then the booze numbers they don't have here.
Someone is pointing out that keep in mind that you can't order drinks at restaurants. So maybe those numbers are inflated a little bit because you can't get your booze anywhere else. So now you gotta.
I thought some breweries were doing.
Yeah, breweries are doing beer to go and deliveries.
But let's be honest. The 95% of your drinking is now done at home. And at least for like that split is usually probably 60-40 as opposed to, 95-5 right now.
Technically, the beer you're drinking that you're picking up from the brewery also at home.
Sure.
You're just picking it up. Some of the places that do serve alcohol are in their to-go orders letting you get beer.
And you can do that anywhere?
I don't know about anywhere, but I've seen that as an option.
Yeah, I've seen signs, people promoting it.
So it's up to the business. You know, somebody asked a really good question on the text line, which we can debate at another time, but how many restaurants... Or they asked, what percentage of local restaurants never reopen?
Yeah,
boy, that's
know.
A good question.
Well, and we don't know because how long this goes.
Yeah.
If it came back soon, I'd say, I don't know.
Yeah.
How many would reopen? Probably 80, 90%. Yeah. But if it keeps going for a couple more months, which it sounds likely, that's going to be a lot harder.
I've heard from so many business owners that say they can float it for a month or two. And you get beyond that, and now we're at critical mass.
Here's someone who says they love the new sense of cleanliness. That's true.
Yeah. And I do feel that people have been more friendly.
I think so too.
Out and about,
going out of their way to not be jerks.
Yeah, sense of community a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There's your In the News for April 8th. We'll be back with In the News for April 9th tomorrow on April 9th.
Hey, look at that.
The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We have some Oregon basketball news today. And the NBA is close to finalizing something that you may or may not watch on TV. Also, Tom's braids on Howard Stern. We'll recap all that next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.